This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
The Eagles' bye week wasn't bad. They had a bunch of close games, a bunch of games that came down to the wire. In my local market, they showed Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and that game came down to the last play. Jordan Love did a lot better than I thought he would against that defense, and he almost pulled it off. But he threw a pick at the end. And your man got rocked. He got cooked. But to be fair, it was a late hit. And of course, you know, it was on the Steelers sideline. So of course, it was a little fight. That was entertaining. Browns and Ravens. I didn't expect that many points. I never expect that many points in an AFC North game. But I was surprised, just like when the Steelers and Browns played the first time. It was 27-23. I wasn't expecting that many points. Maybe the same thing will happen for this Steelers and Browns game, but I'll talk about that later. But yeah, what else? The Cowboys flexed on the Giants again. I really want to sit up here and say, oh, it's the Giants. But the Giants, they beat the Commanders. They almost beat the Bills, and this is without Daniel Jones. Who else? They should have beat the Jets. So they give some teams problems. They got killed by the Raiders. I think it was just a perfect storm. Like, the Raiders, their offensive weapons finally got unleashed. They benched their quarterback. They fired their coach. It was just not a good situation for the Giants coming to Las Vegas. It just wasn't a good idea. But other than that, the Giants have been at least decent against almost maybe every team they've played except the Raiders and the Cowboys. Maybe the Cowboys is just a bad matchup. Maybe that's it. But still, the Cowboys are flexing. Everyone's hyping up the Cowboys. Now, sure, Dak is on fire and CeeDee Lamb is on fire. They still got three losses. You got blown out by the Niners, and you choked against my Birds. And you lost to the Cardinals. Damn! Come on, man. You are not all that. And CeeDee Lamb is on that A.J. Brown type of streak where he gets like 150 yards in like three or four straight games. So he's on that type of tear. I'm trying to break this down. The Chargers' pass defense, terrible, and you only scored 17 on them. The Eagles' pass defense, it's not terrible, but it's mediocre at best. And then you play the Giants, who you just match up really well against, and they're not very good. Their offense isn't very good. So, but they flexing. Like, flexing, you all hype. Y'all think y'all like that? Y'all think y'all arrived? We'll see. They got the Panthers next. I mean, Lord. Now it's their turn to get the you haven't played anybody and you only doing this against bad teams. Now it's their turn to feel what we felt last year. But if you're really that good, you'll show up in the playoffs like the Eagles did, and I doubt you will. Because you're good, but you're not great. Which means your ceiling is, come on, church, the second round. So you can flex your muscles against the Giants all you want to, but I know when it comes to the nitty gritty, you turn into track stars.
Facts.
Now, before I go any further, let me talk about the Eagles versus the Chiefs. That's a Monday night game next week. Apparently the basketball game I was supposed to play in just disappeared. Like, it just, it's not there anymore. Like, I think they canceled it because it's Thanksgiving week. So I guess they canceled it. I don't know what was that about, but it's not on my Volo screen. So it looks like I'm freed up to watch that game. I would rather be playing basketball before the game. Maybe I can find a game somewhere if I really try. Or maybe I'll go to the good old Fort Davis and try to get in that melee. It'll make me better, but boy, them guys are aggressive. They're fast. It would be a tough game going over there. We'll see. We'll see. I might give it a try. But that's if I'm desperate to find a game. It's not that serious. I don't play again till my team in DC Frey doesn't play again till November 29th. After tonight, of course. But November 29th. So I got time, I guess. anyway. I'm freed up to watch that game. And I'm hype. When the schedule came out, I was like, man, I'm so hyped to get my revenge. Man, we should have won that Super Bowl. We gonna win. We're still gonna win in Kansas City. But the more I think about this game, the more I'm like, this game just doesn't have the same juice as it did when the schedule came out. Or when I was looking at the opponents we were going to have after the Super Bowl. It doesn't have the same juice. Because I realized we're not getting that Super Bowl back. And if we win, it's just a semi-meaningless regular season game. Well, yeah, that kind of like brings us back to the pack as far as home field advantage, and it brings the Cowboys closer. Okay, maybe it's important in that aspect, but as far as getting revenge, I mean, they're going to still say, we still beat you in the Super Bowl. We still got one more ring than you do. So it kind of takes away the juice, man. It kind of takes away the excitement I had for that game. But I'm still going to watch because it's Monday Night Football. It's the Eagles, and I wanted to go, but obviously, when you're in financial turmoil like me, it ain't happening. So it's okay. You know, I'd rather stay here and save money anyway. So it's all good. I'll find something to do. Well, there's a lot of important things to do. But nevertheless, I can't wait. It's a bad matchup for the Eagles because Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league. And you saw what he did to the Chargers, who has a much worse pass defense than us. And our pass defense is average to below average. So that's a really good matchup for Patrick Mahomes. And their defense underrated. They're underrated, especially when it comes to pass defense. But see, here's a problem when you go against the Burp. They can run and pass. And they're still a top 10 offense. So I'm like, we're going to make the Chiefs be honest. Like, it's they might have to try to take one thing away. But ultimately, you can't take everything away. You may not have Dallas Goedert. But whatever tight end we have in, you still got to look out for them. Devontae Smith is a problem. A.J. Brown's a problem. We haven't even unleashed Julio Jones yet. Are y'all even ready for that? And you know, the D-line's underrated and Chris Jones is going to be tough. But listen, I hope we run the ball and keep their offense off the field. This is another one of them games where I'd rather keep their offense off the field. The Eagles have the number one rushing defense by a mile. So, and Isaiah Pacheco hasn't really been doing anything the last few weeks. I know because he's on my fantasy team. So he hasn't really been doing anything. And now you go against the number one rushing defense. And there may be a drive or two where they'll give up rushing yards. But after that, nah, they usually give up nothing. However, what if this is like the Super Bowl? They pass and they pass. Every run is stuffed. And then, you know, once we, you know, busy defending the pass and Mahomes running, that opens up Isaiah Pacheco to get 10, 20-yard runs like he did in the Super Bowl. Like, I hope that doesn't happen. But then again, no Eric Bieniemy, so we'll see. The Bird should win. It might be close. Like, it'll be one score, But they'll win. I mean, they're underdogs by Vegas. Even Pigskin Pick'em got them losing. Like, they got them losing 51% to 49. So, but I got the bird. I got the bird winning by one. I don't see why we can't beat these guys. Like I've said the last few shows, Detroit beat them. The Broncos beat them. The Broncos gave them problems the first time. Minnesota almost beat them. Jacksonville almost beat them in a 17-9 game. So I'm like, yo, Miami was maybe one play away from taking that to overtime. Like, these guys can be had. And all those teams are worse than the Bird. So I'm like, I don't see why the Eagles can't go there and win. And yeah, their passing offense against our passing defense could be a problem. I don't believe in any of those receivers. It's just Patrick Mahomes makes the whole thing go. And, well, Travis Kelce is always a problem. If we can figure out how to deal with Kelce, I'm not worried about Kadarius Toney. I'm not worried about Rashee Rice and Justin Watson. All those guys who are just okay. They're just okay. Maybe we should play man. Yeah. Then we got the Travis Kelce problem. I'm going to just leave the game planning to them. But seriously, though, I like our DBs against the receivers, but it's just the whole scheme. And Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce is going to be a problem. Even though individually cornered against receivers, I think we're fine. But it's just going to be tough to deal with the quarterback, the tight end, and the coaches. But the Eagles are going to win. Because I just fully think they're... Maybe these guys are even. I think the Eagles are a little bit better. And they're going to show it. But if they lose, I mean, come on. We're on the road against a tough matchup. If we lose, we lose. But I think they can get this. And this will make a statement. This will make a huge statement. There's a bunch of people on TV claiming we're the best team in the league. And they're going to prove it on Monday. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. The Commanders lost. They actually played well. And they took the lead to start off. And then they couldn't hang on. Like, at the end of the day, their defense, their pass defense is just as bad as the Eagles. So, of course, they couldn't hold up when it was crunch time and you couldn't stop those receivers. And they gave up a game-winning field goal. Just another Sam Howell game that's wasted by defense and coaching. It's just, I just know that they have a real one. I think Sam Howell has earned my respect. It took a minute, but he's earned it. Well, he has the number one, like he's number one in passing yards now. Already, the second year? He might as well be a rookie because he only played one game last year. But a part of me still thinks that he's just another Kirk Cousins, even though Kirk Cousins took longer to develop, but a part of me thinks he's another Kirk Cousins, as in he's going to throw for a lot of yards. But when it comes down to it, when it comes to the clutch and those games in December and January, it's not going to matter. He's going to fall apart. My gut says that, but who knows what is going to happen. But from what he's shown, if he can get a better defense and a slightly better supporting cast on offense, this team might just do better than any of them Kirk Cousins teams. And you're going to have to pay him. So your defense might take a hit financially, and you're probably going to have to get rid of another one of those D linemen. Maybe. We'll see. You already got rid of two of them because you knew you wasn't going to be able to pay them. And the way Sam Howell going, you're probably going to have to give a lot of money to him. So they found themselves a quarterback. I was thinking, you know, maybe they'll be terrible. And I was going to fear that they were going to get Caleb Williams, but it doesn't look like they're going to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. I don't think so, unless they lose out. So they're not going to get him. They got Sam Howell. I guess you can just build around Sam Howell. You found yourself a quarterback. I guess Eric Bieniemy is going to be around, whether as still the OC or the head coach. He could be the head coach. The way things are going right now, I can see them bumping him up to head coach. I can see that coming a mile away. But you found yourselves a quarterback. Congrats. Now you got to actually win games. And looking at my lifetime, that's been a challenge. Because you haven't won a title since 1991.
Facts.
I wasn't even born yet. Legendary team. They went, what, 17-2? Like, the team that last won Super Bowl? That was a really good team. I don't know what you've been doing since. But found yourselves a quarterback. Probably should elevate Eric Bieniemy. And maybe you will be a problem, but we'll see. History says you'll just mess it up anyway, even with the new owner. But you're heading in the right direction. And at 3-6, I might as well do this now. At 3-6, you're not out of it. I'm looking at it, and it's like, okay, actually you're 4-6. That's even better. The Vikings are starting to pull away from the wild card field. They're 6-4. The Saints 5-5. Tampa Bay 4-5. They just won. They beat Tennessee. That was huge. Commanders 4-6. Atlanta 4-6. You beating Atlanta was huge because you got the tiebreaker. And it looks like they're going to be lockstep with you for the wild card. Green Bay 3-6. Rams 3-6. I don't even need to talk about the rest. I mean, y'all within 2 games of each other. So, not out of it. The playoffs is definitely possible. I mean, yeah, as good as Josh Dobbs is doing and as good as the Vikings are doing right now with Justin Jefferson coming back, it's still Josh Dobbs, a quarterback. And I'm not sure if they can sustain this. But if they do, yeah, you're not going to catch the Vikings. But we'll see. I could be wrong. We'll see. But from the looks of it, you're just not going to catch them. But you got something to build on for next year. Should beat the Giants. That will put you closer into the wild card race. But yeah, man, y'all got something. As far as the AFC side, the Browns are 6-3. But with the loss of Deshaun Watson, I mean, yeah, his elbow is hurt. Not elbow, but shoulder. Yeah. He got a fracture in his shoulder that just came out today, and he's going to need season-ending surgery. With Deshaun Watson out, I think the Browns will come back to the pack. The Steelers should beat them on Sunday without Deshaun. But the Steelers are mid offensively and defensively. Looking at the Packers game, there are some holes there. If you can block Watt and Highsmith, there are some holes you can take advantage of. And Hayward, too. They got a monster D line, but the back line is good, but not great. This is like Washington sitcom, just a little bit better. They even got Cole Holcomb. He was on the Washington sitcom. So I'm like, yeah, it's just the Washington sitcom, just better. So if you can block that D-line, the secondary can be had. So the Browns, we'll see. And it's a division game. So the Browns could win, but the Steelers are most likely going to win that game. But everyone's right there, you know. And the Texans, 5-4, they got the 7th spot right now. I'd love to see them in the playoffs because they're so fun to watch. But then again, the Bengals, you know, if they get anywhere near the playoffs, they might make a run for it. They might end up back in the Super Bowl. I still have them in the Super Bowl. But the way the Ravens and the Chiefs are playing, even though the Ravens lost, like they lost to the Browns, they gave it away. Pick six by Lamar in the fourth quarter was just devastating. They had it, man. And they just, they were dominating the Browns. And then they let them hang around in the third quarter. And then the Browns just took the game over in the fourth. Like, I can't believe it. The Ravens should have won that game. They let the three of their losses, they let those games slip away. Like, those were three winnable games. They could easily be 10-0. So, they're a team you got to look out for. And if the Bengals would have to play them in the first round, yeah, that's the end of them. But, man, the AFC race is so close. I mean, the Broncos here in 14th, and they're 4-5. They're only one game back of the Texans. And the Broncos, for most of the season, haven't been good. And even the Titans are only two games back of the Texans. So, it's like, it's still really tight. It's still really tight in the playoffs. And that's going to make an interesting playoffs, too. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh, and the Texans and CJ Stroud, that hype, well-deserved. Like, they've turned it around. And they got my attention when they blew out the Jaguars. Because the Jaguars are supposed to be at least an AFC contender to go to the AFC championship, at least. And the Texans just punished them. They got a lot of weapons on the outside and with Collins and Dell. Dell is really good. Collins and Dalton Schultz from the Cowboys. Their running backs are good too. So it's just really good. Like these, they got a really potent offense, and they built it up pretty fast, and I can't believe it. Their defense, okay. I mean, it's better than the Commanders. But it's good enough to get them to the playoffs, but when they get to the playoffs, they might be in trouble. They got some head-scratching losses. Like, they lost to the Panthers. They lost to the Falcons. Like, they have some head-scratching losses. But the Bengals win was great. The Jaguars win was great. The Buccaneers win, we threw for a record. Him and Baker had a classic. See, that's why you shouldn't sleep on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield played well enough to win that game. It's just the defense gave up a record amount of yards to CJ Stroud. I mean, what can you do? But now people are putting Stroud in the MVP race and have him as a runaway rookie of the year. Let's just see how it plays out. I'm not ready to give that to him yet. I'm not ready to put him ahead of Tua. I'm not ready to put him ahead of Jalen Hurts. I could be wrong. I'm not ready to put him ahead of Tyreek Hill or AJ Brown. But the conversation, like, he's in the mix. He's in the top 10. I'll give him that. But let's not get too carried away. Now, it's halfway through the season. Man. Let's not get too carried away. But he has been playing well all season other than the Panthers game and the Falcons game, I think. And maybe one other game. But other than that, he's been great. And whoever got him in fantasy, man, must be nice. Must be nice. He keep playing the way he playing. He gonna win some fantasy managers a championship. And a guy that got him in my fantasy league, in my college friend's fantasy league, he's doing really well. So he's up there. So he's probably someone I'm gonna have to deal with if Stroud keeps playing the way he plays. Okay. Oh, okay, real quick, the Bills. The Bills, man. The Bills are so mid. See, this is why, week by week, our little gauntlet isn't looking that tough. Already, we beat the Dolphins. We beat the Commanders. We beat the Cowboys. Three straight in the quote-unquote gauntlet already. So now we got the Chiefs. That's the toughest one on the schedule. This is the most complete Chiefs team I've seen in a while. I still think we can beat them. All these close games they've played as many close games as the Eagles have played. I don't see why we can't beat them. Oh, and let's not forget about the Jets game. The Jets choked. The Jets could have beat them. If they had a better offense, they would have beat them. Anyway, they can win that game. Like, come on. Then we got Buffalo's mid. I know it's a bad matchup, and they're coming off a bye after two excruciating losses. Well, the Bengals, they just got outplayed wire to wire. It's just a bad matchup for them. I don't know why they can't match up with the Bengals, but it's a bad matchup for them. And it was in Cincinnati. What can you do? The Broncos game is a head scratcher because they're mid. But I guess the Bills are mid too. And even that game, they could have won that game. But the pass interference at the end, the 12 men on the field at the snap, at the game-winning field goal that was missed by the Broncos, that's ridiculous. And also, when Russell Wilson throws across his body to the corner of the end zone with three of your defenders there, Cortland Sutton should not be catching the ball. Like, you have got to be kidding me. In the pass interference and at the end of the game, come on, man. That was a duck. Turn around and pick it off. The game is over. These guys are terrible. And they had four turnovers. That's another thing. Everyone's going off about the turnovers. And it's just, that's what frustrates me about Josh Allen. He's so talented, but he's so careless with the ball. He's so careless with the ball. I seen him at his best this season when he played the Commanders. He was running the ball. He wasn't. Well, okay, he made a few, like, head-scratching throws. I think he threw a pick in that game, too. But he was running the ball when it wasn't there. He was making good throws. He's throwing the ball down the field. It was a beauty to watch. And it's just the turnovers cost him these games. They shouldn't have lost to the Broncos. They should have lost to the Giants. They got away with that one. And they shouldn't have lost to the Jets. Like, they're 5-5 for no reason, bro. They should at least be 7-3. At least. With that being said, the Bird is better. They're the better team. Point blank, period. Point blank, period. Number one rushing defense. They're going to have to throw the ball, and that means turnovers, and we don't force a lot of turnovers. This is a good time to force some turnovers. And that's another game where we can run the ball and keep their offense off the field because their run defense is just okay. Actually, it's below average. So I don't see why we can't. And they're missing a lot of – they're missing some key secondary players. They got some good safeties, but their corners, they're missing some key corners. So I don't see how we can't win that game. They are mid, bro. They haven't shown me anything. Yeah, those games that they should have won, they were against teams that just weren't that good. The Giants, I mean, well, okay. The Jets and the Broncos. Like, the Eagles are way better than them. So, yeah, sure, Stephon Diggs is going to be a problem. Josh Allen is going to be a problem. But the fact that they won't be able to run the ball against us should play into the Eagles' hands, and all they got to do is pressure Josh Allen, force him into mistakes. This could get ugly. I went from, oh, this could be the game of the year, and we're not going to beat them, to this could be a blowout if we can force turnovers. We'll see, man. If we got the 49ers afterwards, that's going to be a tough game. And at our place, 49ers fans are going to be annoying on the gram, on Twitter, on the field. I mean, at the link, they're going to be annoying, but we're just going to have to deal with it. The Bird is the word. And we can beat the Niners. I don't see why not. Now, they pretty much match us in pretty much every category. I still think we got the slightly better. Maybe they had the better receiving crew because they got the tight end. You know, they got Kittle, and we might not have Goddard back. So yeah, that's gonna be tough. I don't see how we can't beat them. I think the Cowboys game is before the second Cowboys game is before the Niners game, I think. And with that game, we haven't beat the Cowboys in Dallas since 2017. I mean, I don't see why we can't beat them in Dallas. I know it's a tough place to win. I know Dallas pretty much hasn't lost at home since, I can't remember the last time they lost at home. I know they lost at home to the 49ers in the playoffs. That was funny. But I can't remember the last time they lost at home. They're a tough team to beat at home. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fans. I don't know if it's the mystique of Jerry's World. But we went in there with Gardner Minshew last year, and we should have won, but we had all these dumb turnovers. Take care of the ball against the Cowboys. We can go in there and win that game. We got to figure out what we're going to do about CeeDee Lamb. Just straight up. We got to figure out what we're going to do about CeeDee Lamb. Because he is a problem. He's going to be a problem. If we could do that, maybe it'll make it easier to defend that passing attack. They can't run the ball on us. So we gotta put that to our advantage. And on defense, they can't stop. They won't be able to stop our rushing attack if we put it to them. Like, we get physical, they won't be able to stop our running attack. And our passing attack, I mean, they can barely stop that either. It's going to be another shootout. It's going to be another shootout, and it should be fun. But the Bird, I don't see why they can't win that. And then the 49ers, we can beat them, bro. We're slightly better than them. We need to prove it. The Seahawks are mid. They barely beat the Commanders. They got blown out by the Ravens. Yeah, they beat Detroit. That was their best win. But the Seahawks are mid, man. They are. I think we can get to Geno Smith and make things tough on him. We got to watch out for Kenneth Williams. But like I said, we're the number one rushing defense, so he shouldn't be a problem either. They're mid, but going to their place with the weapons they have and their defense is above average, I can see how we lose that game, but at the end of the day, we're the better team once again. So the two games I'm mostly worried about in this little quote-unquote gauntlet before the schedule just falls off a cliff. The two teams I'm mostly worried about is the 49ers and the Chiefs, because they're balanced. They have great coaching staffs. They have good quarterbacks, especially Patrick Mahomes. Those two games I'm worried about for sure. I'm worried less about the Bills, less about the Seahawks. And the Cowboys game, yeah, that's going to be tough, but we can win that. I know we can. Why not? I can make an argument that they can win all of those games. But is a realistically, we might lose two of those games. God forbid, maybe three. Hopefully not. But we'll see. Anyway, I didn't think I'd spend 30 minutes on football, but I mean NFL, but yeah, I did. Now, the Sooners won. It was a blowout. They killed West Virginia. I was a little worried about this game because West Virginia had a decent team. And then, of course, I wasn't that worried when they went down the field and scored 7-0 for opening drive. I was like, oh, Lord. But we answered right back. And then it turned out they couldn't stop our offense at all. Gavin Sawchuk ran for over 100 yards. Dylan Gabriel ran for 50 yards and 3 touchdowns, threw for over 300 yards. Lebby Ball was 0-1. And then on defense, you know, it was a lot of bend but not don't break. And 4 turnovers. So, I mean, it was all clicking. Like, this is what this team should look like all the time. So, we need to put it to BYU. I know this is an inconsistent team. And we're going on the road. It just seems like Cincinnati all over again, where we kind of play with our food and then we just end up with the victory at the end of the day. but it's closer than it should have been. It looks like another one of those games, but it's a 12 o'clock game. I don't know why. 10 a.m. local time. I don't know why. I don't know what the Big 12 is doing. Of course, all the Big 12 detractors, I'm on the fence about the Big 12, but the SEC is clearly better, but I'm not going to trash the Big 12. But in this situation, I don't know what the Big 12 is doing. I don't know why this is a 12 o'clock game. I have no clue. I probably won't watch with the Sooner people. I'm probably going to go home. I'm probably just going to get me some food and watch it at the crib. Should take care of business. This is a bottom tier Big 12 team. Even on the road, like, we're the better team. If we can get Lebby Ball going, we should get this team out of here quick, fast, and in a hurry. And then we can get ready for TCU, another mediocre Big 12 team that they clearly fell off. They clearly lost too many key pieces. We should punish them. I'm serious. But the only thing is, they still got pretty much the same coaching staff. And, you know, they're going to come in here with nothing to lose and maybe have to win to get in a bowl. It's not going to be easy. But just like, you know, that TCU game back in 2015, back when I was in school, and we had to win and get in the playoffs pretty much. Like, it's going to be kind of like that. Except this is a worse team than that team was. So, or maybe about the same level, and not no Gary Patterson coaching. But I got a feeling this is going to be a tough game. But at the end of the day, we're better than BYU and TCU. So if we take care of business, let's look at the Big 12 standings. I don't have it right now, but the last time I looked, the Sooners are back in second because Kansas lost to Texas Tech. What was that about? And they didn't score in the first half. I don't know what that was about. I don't know why they choked at home against Texas Tech. And then also, I think Iowa State lost. So I'm like, man, this is opening up because those two teams were ahead of us. Oh, wait, I think Iowa State won maybe. They might have won. I know who did lose for sure. Oklahoma fake. Ha-ha! I told y'all they wasn't that good. I told y'all they was overrated. I told y'all we gave them the game. I told y'all they weren't going to be in Dallas. Well, they still got a chance. Like, I think they've only lost two Big 12 games, just like OU. But still, there's a big tie for second, and we're on the top of that pile somehow. So, and Texas is on top. They still have one Big 12 loss. I don't know how, looking at the Houston game and looking at the Kansas State game, I don't know how, but they still have one Big 12 loss. All we got to do is win out, and I think we'll be fine. As long as, you know, and I truly believe Oklahoma State's going to lose one more time. I truly believe it. What they got? West Virginia and BYU, I think. Like, they're going to lose one more time. Watch. Just watch. I'm telling you. I definitely think they're going to lose. I mean, they lost to UCF 45-3. Damn! They gave up almost 300 yards rushing. Ollie Gordon, y'all was about ready to put him in the Heisman race, which I disagree with, and he couldn't even get to 50 yards. Come on, man. They not that good. I told y'all they weren't that good. And then they got cooked. They beat us. Which is crazy how they even beat us. And I told y'all they weren't that good. And then they just got absolutely destroyed by UCF. UCF is better than I thought they were, but they not beating someone 45-3 good. Come on, man. Get out of here. Oklahoma fake is a joke. How are we losing him? But anyway, they fell back. Iowa State's still there, but they're probably going to lose one more time. Things just opened up. I'm not sure if Kansas is going to beat Kansas State. Oh, Kansas State, we got to worry about them too. at the end of the day, it's going to be an OU-Texas rematch. Some drama, but at the end of the day, if both teams win out, I don't see how it's not an OU-Texas rematch. And that's what a lot of us want to see anyway. Unless you're, I guess, a lot of us around the country and OU-Texas fans want to see that. So, yeah, that would be better. But I'm so glad things have opened up and OU took care of business. And now need to take care of business the next 2 weeks against two inferior teams. And we should be there. I don't see why not. Now, the Wizards can't even guard a painting. Can't even guard artwork. And yet still, they could easily beat the Hornets and the Raptors. They did beat the Hornets. They had a two-game set against the Hornets. One was a non-in-game tournament. Yeah, in-season tournament game. And the other one was. Of course we lose the one that was an in-season tournament game. Of course. And it was at home. And they had a fourth quarter lead. They played well against the Hornets. But I don't know why they gave up a fourth quarter lead against the Hornets and the Raptors. The Raptors I can understand. The Hornets, I can't. They clearly match up well with the Hornets. They've played them three times, including the preseason, and they've punished them all three times, except this one quarter where they just let them come back and win the game. This team is a joke, man. And every other day, I'm seeing clips of them doing something dumb, like Kuzma complaining about a call and asking for a review and then giving up a layup late in the game when the other team got momentum and it's about to win the game. And then you got Poole not paying attention during a huddle to the coach and the play. You got Poole throwing it off the backboard to Kuzma down 19. Like, it's just always some clown stuff, bro. Like, this team is not good. This team is not good. Yet, they still could have beat the Hornets and the Raptors. That's crazy to me. Like, they can put it together in spurts, but ultimately, they're not good. And the defensive numbers are still terrible. Man. You know what, man? I don't even know what to do anymore. I'll probably keep paying attention. Of course, I'm going to end up at some games. I got to look at the schedule and see what wins the next game I could go to. But I'm going to end up at a game at some point. It's just that I don't know. I don't know what to do. Like, this team is not good. And Poole and Kuzma supposed to be our best players. And, you know, they're up and down. And we can't guard anybody. It might be a long season. It just might be a long season. But at least the Caps. At least the Caps. Maybe this is the speeding up of the cap cycle. Maybe this is the part where, because usually we're a part where they start taking off and they give us hope. And it looks like they're going to, make the playoffs and have home ice advantage. This looks like that part is coming early. I'm sure the midseason slump is coming. I'm sure it's coming. Like, it always does. You know how the cap cycle is. But they went from just starting off extremely slow to now they're second in the Metropolitan. Like, wow, that was quick. They won three in a row. They did lose that game against the Panthers, but the game where they stole my one of my best players from basketball, and he ended up going to the game and watching that. At least they lost. I'm like, oh, that's annoying. But hey, they won three games in a row after that. So I guess I'll take it. Including a shutout at home against the defending champ, Las Vegas Golden Knights. I'm very proud of them for that. That is impressive. Gotta keep it up, man. Second in the Metropolitan. But is this just setting up for a letdown? Maybe I should just keep watching, but I'm happy with the Caps right now. But history tells me that's going to change. And then I'm just going to say they're all cap like they've been the last like 5 years. Now, one last thing, the Warriors and the Wolves fight. right. And it was at the beginning of the game, like the first minute and a half of the game. They end up in a fight and Draymond is choking out Gobert because Gobert put his hands on Thompson trying to break up Thompson and Jaden McDaniels, like, because they were grabbing each other's. I don't understand tangle ups in basketball. Like, y'all really getting tangled up for a rebound? You can't just let go. Y'all are nuts. Y'all are crazy. But they got tangled up. And then Jaden McDaniels got mad, started pushing and shoving. Of course, Klay's going to defend himself. And then there's a whole scrum. And Gobert is right there in the area. He's trying to break it up. He's trying to take Thompson away. But I guess, you know, Richard Sherman gave me some perspective. Like, in a fight, you don't just, in a group fight like that, you don't just grab the other person. Like, you grab players from your own team if you want to break it up. And Jaden McDaniels was already kind of pushed away from the scrum, so he didn't even have to do anything. So, of course, Draymond reacted and put Gobert in a headlock. I think it was a little extra, but it's Draymond, you know. It's just that he does the most on the court. You know what I'm saying? And he's just, man, he just be doing the most at all times. So that's how he put him in a headlock. And he dragged him. I thought he was going to choke him out. But they was able to get him off of Gobert. I'm surprised Gobert didn't fight the guy, you know, because I've seen Gobert getting some scuffles. I'm surprised he didn't go at Draymond, but he stayed in the game. I think he backed off because, well, first of all, the situation was de-escalating. Plus, he didn't want to get ejected or suspended. So I get how he just backed off. But Draymond, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, Draymond being Draymond. I was laughing because Draymond is a character, man. Like, the way he be arguing with refs, the way he just talk trash. I saw the clip with Anthony Edwards. He talked trash. He tried to punk Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards just in a calm tone, and that's why I'm trying to be more dominant in my life. Like, because dominant people, like, they do things in a calm but assertive tone and an assertive way. And that's what Anthony Edwards did in response to Draymond. He was like, nah, don't foul me like that. I don't care what you're talking about. No one's worrying about you. Don't foul me like that. He said it in the most, you know, assertive, calm way. And then he handled his business. He scored a bunch of points and they won the game. But Draymond's just being Draymond. And he has been ejected two of the last three games. And now the talk is about his antics again. So I'm like, I don't know what to say. It's entertaining to watch, but people think that the Warriors will get tired of it at some point. If they haven't by now, they probably won't. They just extended the guy. So obviously it's just a part of the experience and they're just used to it. They just don't want it to go overboard. And some of this has gone overboard. But is Draymond looking at a lengthy suspension from this? I think he should be suspended a few games because he's doing the most, bro. Like, just to calm him down just a little bit, it's still not going to stop him from getting texts and maybe even ejections, but just to slow him down a little bit. All right, because he's doing a lot right now. But it's funny, man. It's funny. It's just the Warriors got to do a better job of not, you know, having him cross the line. That's all. But he's very entertaining to watch. The one time I watched him at the Wizards, of course he got a tech in that game. Like, the guy is hilarious. And he plays with so much emotion. And he has a great podcast. I just had to throw that out there because it's the real deal. I have to go back and listen to some shows. I might even listen to, I don't know if he's made a show lately. I don't know. I got to go back and watch. I know he takes long breaks, so we'll see. But it was funny. It was funny. The fight and then Draymond just being extra, like, it's crazy, man. Anyway, oh, real quick, Chet and Wimby was a disappointment. Thunder blew out the Spurs because I'm starting to realize the Spurs are not that good. And Wimby still, he does his thing. Like, he had 8 points, 14 rebounds last night. But he's not dominating. Like, he had that one game where he had 38. Other than that, just some good games here, some pedestrian games here. Like, he's still got a ways to go. And Chet Holmgren, 9.7 rebounds, 3 assists. That's okay. I mean, I look at the highlights. Chet settles for a lot of jump shots. I know, as someone who settles for a lot of jump shots, I know that's the easy way out, but I feel like he could do so much more. I guess Chet versus Wimby was a disappointment from an individual player standpoint and the teams. Like, it was a blowout. But that was just one game. Hopefully, you know, these guys bounce back because that was underwhelming. Anyway, GOATLevelTees.com for all things GOAT level. You better get on the bandwagon. It's never too late. I used to say it's not too late. No, we're welcoming. You're always welcome on the bandwagon. So anyway, you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the GOAT Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.